always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider as well as lead Lakers creator for Offside, joined on this fine Wednesday afternoon by you guys. It is a mailbag episode here today, as Harrison and I recorded yesterday, and obviously we had the holiday, and I got a little sick, but I'm feeling perfectly fine now, 100% back up on my feet. Voice feels good. Ate a little too much for lunch, ordered Chipotle, and then took down the whole burrito. Don't normally do that, but I only ate a banana this morning. But like, you still feel kind of heavy, so hopefully I'll be able to fight off that post-lunch morass that can sometimes set in. But I will be doing so here on the air with you guys in this mailbag episode, where you guys have asked about the red flags that might have been risen for Mark Walter as the Lakers sought out their assistant GMs. There are others who have asked about Anthony Davis, given some of his comments recently about Austin Reeves and whether a return to the Lakers could ever be in the cards there, or if that bridge has been burnt to too much of a degree. You have others asking about, you know, the difference between these late second rounders who were drafted and those who go undrafted. And then on Twitter, you know, and I think this is probably going to get the bulk of the attention from this episode. On Twitter, people are asking about what the Lakers options would be, and what the impact to their cap space would be in the event that LeBron James departs this upcoming summer to go elsewhere via free agency. So there's a lot that you guys, and then obviously you guys are going to have questions in the chat over the course of the show as well. And after I get to the iTunes mailbag, and after I get to most of the Twitter mailbag and all of that good stuff, I will dive into the chat to answer whatever questions you guys might have there. And we'll enjoy this, you know, mid-afternoon recording session together. A quick reminder, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications for the show. And also turn on notifications to YouTube so that you get the notifications to the show. If you guys are listening to the show in the morning via podcast, please hit subscribe wherever it is that you get those pods, preferably on Odyssey, but they all count the same to me. Also, as always, this show is brought to you in video form in part by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA use that promo code HMA and play a $5 lineup of your own, you will get $50 worth of free lineups on Prize Picks. And Prize Picks has been a lot of fun, especially since the Lakers were eliminated. Prize Picks just brings back a little of that edge, or that extra fun that you can kind of get from watching those games. So HMA is the promo code to use there. Let's dive on in, starting with old Red Flag Robbie. From iTunes, QBreezy12 wrote, Lowe said on his pod that front office executives around the league have declined Lakers assistant GM interviews because they're wary of being tied to Pelinka. How can they compete with Boston and OKC's front office if Pelinka is lacking or has major flaws and is radioactive? Walter has to see this as a giant problem / red flag, right? Well, as Harrison and I kind of talked about in yesterday's episode, and then your own Weitzman and I went into detail in an episode last week. I hope you guys check out both of those shows. I can confirm the stuff that Zach Lowe is talking about here. Not that Zach Lowe needs confirmation, especially not for me. But I will say that, yeah, like that there are, you know, maybe more qualified people from better organizations who are looking at the Lakers situation and saying to themselves, wait, why would I leave my current gig for the uncertainty that I would face there, right? And by uncertainty, it's like it's lack of trust in Rob Pelinka, given the way that he has moved in the past. It's lack of understanding of how long Jeannie Buss and her people are going to be running things. It's it's like joining like if you already have a solid gig, yes, there might be more upside in signing on to work at an upstart, but there's also the downside of, wait, what happens if this doesn't pan out? So there's just a lot there's definitely intrigue and interest in the Lakers openings that they are trying to fill. But there is also some hesitancy from around the league to pursue those openings because of, you know, all of these factors. And yeah, like if I'm Mark Walter, and this is something that Mark Walter and his people are doing currently, right? Where essentially he and Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi and other Dodgers people, people from an organization that has successfully undergone these changes, they are all paying very close attention and then, you know, reporting back to Mark Walter about these processes and how successfully they are being carried out. And this is where it gets kind of interesting, right? Because those reports are going to land on Mark Walter's desk, and those conversations are going to take place, and those questions are going to be asked about, like, is Rob and is Jeannie and are the Rambi getting in the way of putting together the, you know, state-of-the-art organization that we are trying to build here? And if they are, then how quickly do we have to move to get people in place who wouldn't hold back those efforts? And now I'm not saying that that is definitely the conclusion of those reports right now. It might just be some growing pains that the Lakers are kind of going through here. But like if I'm Mark Walter, you have to be, you know, uber critical and uber honest about all of this. And when those reports land on your desk and when those conversations take place, and also contractually, potentially, when Jeannie Buss and her time, you know, as head of the organization, when that time comes to a close, then we will see, you know, what decisions are made then. It should also be pointed out, you know, in Rob's defense and in Mark Walter's defense here, that Mark Walter has been a minority owner of the Lakers for quite some time and does have, you know, a ton of experience watching how Rob Pelinka operates, watching how Jeannie Buss's team operates. And, even given that information and even given that experience, Mark Walter granted Jeannie Buss these 3 to 5 years or so to continue to run the organization. So at least on some, you know, in some way, shape or form, potentially here, Mark Walter does trust Jeannie Buss or could trust Jeannie Buss. Now, as I kind of talked about in yesterday's episode with Harrison, I have heard from sources close to the Lakers that they do wonder whether this 3 to 5 window was part of the negotiations and part of the negotiations to eventually buy the Lakers. And some of why Jeannie Buss was allowed to stay on was because in and some of was because they you know, granted her the opportunity to continue to run things for the next 3 to 5 years. And in return, the Lakers never hit the open market. So, there's a lot going on here. And if I were Mark Walter, the way that this has gone so far would be a red flag, right? The fact that the Lakers hiring pool for some of these spots, is somewhat narrowed. If it's narrowed at all by Rob Pelinka, you know, and the lack of trust the people around the league might have in him, or that lack of transparency on the future of the Lakers franchise. Like if there are any qualified candidates who are looking at the Lakers as a potential as an opportunity and saying, I don't know, then to me, that's grounds for getting everybody out of there as quickly as they possibly can. And I know that there are some contractual clauses at play here that might limit the haste with which people can be released from their positions. But yeah, I think, you know, there's enough noise out there, and Mark Walter and his team have watch this now they've had a front row seat to this process so far. And from what I have heard about the process so far, I would probably say that there are probably some questions about the people who are currently presiding over their current gigs and what that will mean for the immediate or longer term future of the Lakers. We'll see. Last point on this. There are quotes out there from Mark Walter about his takeover of the Lakers, his purchase of the Dodgers, and how long it took to get more of his people in place, and to get, you know, Ned Colletti and the prior regime, you know, to move on. And there is some apparent regret there that he wishes that he could, you know, arrive at where the Lakers are now, or at where the Dodgers are now, sooner. And I'm really fascinated. I keep on going back to that quote, and you know, thinking about the Lakers situation here. And the reason I'm specifically fascinated by that quote and how it pertains to this situation here is because the Lakers currently have Luka Doncic in his prime. 27, 28, like the next 5 years of Luka Doncic might be the best basketball that dude ever plays. You've already had one and a half years or so full season of Jeannie Buss calling the shots in the spot that Mark Walter has granted her. That means you have anywhere from 2 to 4 years left of this window. And that would mean that at least half of Luka Doncic's prime might be spent with people who Mark Walter might think or know aren't equipped to handle that prime. So if he does think, you know, in this offseason, I think is going to be the offseason that decides, you know, the haste with which Mark Walter gets all of his people in there and gets all of the previous regime out of there. If Mark Walter, you know, thinks, or Andrew Friedman or Farhan Zaidi report back to Mark Walter that they think that the Lakers' current regime is wasting Luka Doncic's prime, I might even be risking Luka Doncic's long-term commitment to the franchise. I do think Mark Walter would at that point have cause for getting everybody out of there, right? I think at the very least, in just kind of talking through these scenarios, whether it be on the show or you know, more privately behind the scenes with people, I would imagine that this 3 to 5 window that Jeannie Buss and her people have is predicated on belief from Mark Walter that they deserve to remain intact. But the moment that Mark Walter has cause for getting rid of all of them or for bringing in even more people to further dilute, you know, Genie and the Rambi and Rob's voices within the organization, that once he has cause for that, you know, those clauses, that legal protection can be kind of worn down. So we'll see how this all plays out, but it is an excellent question. It's probably the most important question facing the Lakers for the foreseeable future. All right. The next question here comes from Mana from Heaven, who asks, what's the difference between picking a player at the end of the second round versus signing them as free agents at the end of the draft? So first and foremost, you know, we saw this with Bronny in his draft year, where some players and agents want to be drafted for the sake of, you know, the kind of cachet that comes with being selected in within those 60 picks that takes place in the draft. So you have that. There's kind of a rep bump there if you do get drafted, versus if you're an undrafted free agent, that's kind of the label that you have to overcome. Say, as soon as you get into the, you know, as soon as you get into your first training camp, where if you're a player who a team picked up as an undrafted free agent, and that team also has a couple of rookies, one was picked in the first round, one was picked in the second round, even if that pick was selected late in the second round, that team, by way of just committing more resources at the onset of these players' hypothetical careers, that team might give a little extra leeway to, you know, the length of the process in these guys figuring it out. If you're an undrafted free agent and you take a little longer to figure things out, you might be shown the door sooner than if you were even selected at 57. Right. So you have that going on. Now, as far as the teams goes, the types of contracts are different. There's a pay scale to take into account in the first round. And that's why it's really kind of interesting to see how teams consider late first versus early seconds. There's some of that that goes on, I believe, at the end of the second round versus undrafted free agents, where undrafted free agents, there is a lot more flexibility for the team to work out a contract with those players there. You know, we saw this with Austin Reeves, right, where his representation, you know, basically told teams, hey, don't pick us. We want to get to undrafted free agency. We want to be able to select, you know, kind of the right team for Austin. They saw the Lakers as a great opportunity because of, you know, kind of a dearth of on-ball creation and just kind of the spot that franchise was in at the time. And Austin, to his credit, made good on that opportunity. So, so for the teams, you know, there's some extra flexibility if they can get a player by way of undrafted free agency versus late in the second round. The players might consider or might prefer being selected in the second round just by way of, you know, some extra leeway when they get into training camp. Then other players might prefer the flexibility that comes with being an undrafted free agent, right? Because at that point, you have your selection of any number of teams, all teams, really, at that moment, you would be eligible to be signed with. So, or signed by. So, I'm really curious how this is going to go in the CBA, in this new CBA where we have all these aprons and all this stuff. That, you know, the better that teams can be, whether it be in the first round, late in the first round, early in the second round, late in the second round, or, you know, with undrafted free agents, the better that those teams can be, you know, in acquiring talent that way, that is going to be probably one of the most important market inefficiencies during living in this apron world. So These distinctions, they're going to matter more. These distinctions are going to matter more to the players, right? And that flexibility in that runway, if that is the choice that those players make. And for the Lakers, under Mark Walter, they're going to have, I would say, the almost unlimited spending. So they could, as far as legally goes, I would imagine they're going to buy a second rounder in just about every draft from here on out. And they're going to not just try to maximize the opportunities they can create for themselves with those second rounders, but they're also going to, I would probably say, supplement the organization in a very big way, so that not only are they selecting the best talents, whether it be, in any point in the draft, or acquiring those young prospects by way of undrafted free agency, not only are they going to focus on, scouting and optimizing those picks, but they're also critically going to, actually implement the processes that Rob Pelinka talked about when they hired JJ Redick to start to develop some of this talent and get more out of their organizational youth than they have gotten over the last couple of years. All right. Let's see. We have questions here from the, where are we? Come on. Here we go. All right. We have questions here from the Twitter mailbag as well. Although I did see, I thought so. We have a couple of super comments here. So I'll get to those first, then I'll go to Twitter, then I'll come back to the chat. Before we do any of that, we have to play the most important sound on the show. Fuck Washington! Always. All right, Matthew the Sicilian writes, so Anthony, where's the Darius appearance? That's a great question. I've had Darius on the Great Western Forum. Darius used to be a regular guest, back before LFR. He and I go way back. There's no real good explanation for not having Darius on the show. I will say, one factor is that he has a 9-to-5 gig, and that keeps him very busy. He has a family with multiple kids, and they keep him very busy. So he kind of has, his hours outside of recording LFR are somewhat limited. Based on this request here, I'll shoot Darius a text and because I have his number. I'll shoot Darius a text and we'll kind of see if we could land on a time for him to come on the show. But those episodes are fun. I definitely miss recording as frequently as we used to. Maybe we could work it out. All right. The next question here comes from Ryan Lucas, who writes, sounds like the draft through July 1st is make or break for Rob Pelinka this offseason, right? Like, this is kind of sort of what it all comes down to. It's this is an offseason that he has specifically planned for years at the cost of maximizing what was left of LeBron James's prime. The state of the Lakers and Clutch's relationship and his and LeBron's relationship, the state that it currently finds itself, is probably largely due to Rob's handling of this situation and his planning for this offseason. Rob is also, this is his first, offseason where, he will be not his first, right? Because he was technically like Mark Walter was there for their last offseason. But, this is the offseason that he has told Jeannie that he has been planning for. This is the offseason that he has probably told Mark Walter that he has been planning for. And this is, you know, he's run out of runway to kick that can down the road, right? He has reached the end of that bridge. And if he kicks it one more time and that can falls off of the bridge, he is out a can. Honestly, I don't understand the cliche. Like I've never like kicked the can down the road. I've just never quite understood the point of it. Because like, why are you kicking a can? Anywho, ADD. But yeah, it's not just like July 1st. It's not just, you know, the draft, and it's the entirety of this offseason. The Lakers have to exit this offseason or enter this upcoming season with a team that legitimately considers itself a championship contender. And not just a team that considers itself a championship contender, but also like the reviews on this are going to matter quite a bit too, right? Where like the Mandalorian and Grogu movie just came out, and you know, there's some optimism because the budget for that movie wasn't quite as high. There's some optimism there that just like financially it can be a win, but Disney is also going to care about, you know, some of the critical acclaim with this movie, and especially given that, like, you know, you have this whole a big chunk of the Star Wars fan base is asking, hey, why can't we just give the keys to Gilroy? On the, you know, both financial and critical success of Andor, and Rogue One, that's really high up there for my favorite Disney movies or Star Wars movies. You know, so I count myself among the people who are like, kind of curious what Gilroy would do with this universe. But then same time you have, you know, you know, hit the wins that he has had. Hold on one second. Yeah. So like the, given some of the wins that he has in the past, right, there are plenty of Star Wars fans who are like, well, Dave Filoni hasn't been that terrible. And so like with, you know, with this Mandalorian and Grogu thing, you know, Gilroy was able to have both financial and critical success. And for Mandalorian and Grogu, it might have financial success, but if critics are just kind of lukewarm on it, Filoni, you know, the beginning of his run here as head of Star Wars is, it's going to be kind of an auspicious start. So I think that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, for this Lakers offseason, not only will they have to, you know, compile a roster that maybe they are comfortable with, but, you know, idiots like my opinions on the Lakers roster, I think, are going to be taken into account. Your opinions on the roster, you know, with you know, reactions on social media is going to matter a little bit. Just overall excitement for this upcoming Lakers season is going to be something that the Lakers are going to be closely monitoring to decide to what extent this offseason might be a success. So that right there, I think, is reason enough to continue to pay extra close attention. And we'll see how this thing plays out. But Rob has basically everything riding on this summer. All right, let's see. Going to dive back into Twitter just to make sure. Yeah. let's see. Oop. Let's go over here. And the next question that we have, just going in kind of the order that I see it. Okay, yeah. So Leo Hurst 24 was asking, do you think AD would welcome a trade back to LA, or is that bridge completely burnt? Well, this one's tricky because I don't think the Lakers are angry at Anthony Davis. Like, I don't think there is when you use the cliche, is the bridge completely burnt? That implies some resentment there. And I don't sense any resentment per se towards Anthony Davis. I kind of more resent relief from Lakers people, that they're kind of happy to be out of the Anthony Davis business. Over the last few years of his time there, there were plenty of questions about his conditioning and his commitment to conditioning, basically, over the last few years, and whether some of the injury issues that he dealt with had something to do with the conditioning questions. And so, you know, from the Lakers standpoint, at the number that he is at and given the amount of years left on his contract, plus the contract he's kind of expecting on the other side of this current contract, the Lakers, I think, have pretty much moved on from Anthony Davis as an option. Even if, again, there's no resentment per se, I just think everybody there is kind of like, all right, thank you for your time. Best of luck on your future endeavors. We both got what we wanted out of this relationship. From Anthony Davis's standpoint, I do think potentially there might be the response to this might have to be a little more careful. I don't think that he harbors any ill will towards the Lakers. You know, I think there was probably plenty of surprise from AD when the Lakers traded him. I don't think he anticipated that the Lakers would trade him. And I think, you know, that surprise is something that might lead to some resentment, if you want to use that term. I don't, however, think that he is so angry at the Lakers for trading him for Luka Doncic specifically, that he would not entertain a return. I don't think it's in the cards. I don't think it makes sense for really anybody involved given his current contract. But maybe down the road, once this contract is approaching its end, and, you know, depending on where Anthony Davis is in terms of what he'll be looking for his contract after this one, you know, maybe the you know, both sides can get their heads together and figure something out. But as it stands right now, I just don't see it. I would love it. He Anthony Davis, the theory, I think is a little bit better than Anthony Davis, the player. And that's probably been the case for, you know, last year or so. But, you know, if the reality and the theory come a little closer to each other, then I think he makes a ton of sense just in terms of basketball for the Lakers. I don't necessarily see it for all the reasons that I listed. I will say that his comments about Austin Reeves did make me smile a little bit. I do, I look back on that 2019-2020 team with an incredible amount of fun. That is one of my favorite Lakers teams of all time. When you consider everything that team needed to deal with and route to a championship, and Anthony Davis was a big part of that. Somebody in the offside chat last night asked what that Lakers team would do against either of these teams left in the Western Conference Finals. And I think the 2019-2020 championship team absolutely smokes either of these teams, Lakers in five. And Anthony Davis is a big part of why. He was just so freaking unique, so freaking special. Him at the peak of his powers was really something to behold on both sides of the ball, but especially defensively. And then that team also had LeBron effing James and a great supporting cast. And that's going to be a team that I'm always going to look back on with a whole bunch of fondness. And that's going to be a you know, the years that followed are going to, you know, always kind of sting a little bit, because I never felt like that team got an honest chance at defending its championship. The next season started so quickly thereafter, and everybody's bodies were so broken down from the really, really, like, literally, you know, uniquely long season the year before, that it just wasn't really in the cards for everybody to get together and compete again the following year. And that's not just a Lakers thing. Same goes for Denver. Same went for Boston. Same went for Miami. And, you know, while I think it's unlikely that Anthony Davis will be a Laker ever again or anytime soon, I do one day look forward to seeing his jersey there in the Raptors. And you know, when that time comes and when Anthony Davis gets to go back and enjoy that moment, I'll be right there applauding just as loudly as anybody, because he would deserve his jersey to be retired. Next question here comes from LeBron, or it is a LeBron question. So this is a two-parter from a couple of people. So Tyler Nyzinski writes, if LeBron goes back to Cleveland, would the Lakers have enough to re-sign Reeves, Rui, and sign Watson, Kessler? Two offer sheets, barring Denver and Jazz, don't match. So that's part one. And then part two here is from at MJ is overrated, who writes, if LeBron does leave for another team, what did the Lakers do with Bronny? All right. So I'll go in order. What would LeBron leaving do for the Lakers books, essentially? So as it stands, the Lakers have anywhere from like mid-20s to, well, actually, the Lakers have anywhere from no cap space to like high 40s, mid-50s in term million of cap space. And I say no at the start there, because if, like, until the moment they renounce cap holds on LeBron and on Rui, well, basically those two guys. I guess Kennard also counts there as well. And then, you know, we have to wait to see what the player option decisions that DeAndre Ayton and Marcus Smart make. But like, the Lakers don't have any cap space until they renounce, most specifically, LeBron James. His cap hold is upwards of $50 million. And I guess, you know, Rui's cap hold is also significant, right? It's probably 26 or $27 million. And so, like, the Lakers just, like, don't have the room that Tyler is talking about here to make the kind of offer to Peyton Watson or to Walker Kessler that like Denver or Utah just wouldn't match immediately. I mean, honestly, under no circumstances, frankly, do they have enough room to make big enough offers to both Peyton Watson and Walker Kessler to acquire both of those guys just via free agency, because, like, if it's a respectable enough offer, like, Utah and Denver would just match it. And also, like, as it pertains to Watson in particular, I think that Denver would probably just match that offer and then look to get off of, like, Cam Johnson or Aaron Gordon or Christian Brown to make the room necessary to, you know, eat Peyton Watson's contract. Walker Kessler is a little trickier, right? Because I think a big part of their decision there is going to have to do with the amount of resources allocated already to their front court, where they already have Jaren Jackson Jr. They already have Lauri Markkanen. Both of those guys are going to be making max contracts here moving forward. And, you know, if you have Walker Kessler also on your books for 30-ish million bucks, then, you know, is that too much money just focused on your front court there? So I would probably say Kessler is probably slightly more gettable. No, not even slightly. Actually more gettable than Peyton Watson. It would just require a pretty big number that would make Utah kind of blush. And so if LeBron goes to Cleveland by way of free agency and you renounce his draft rights, then, you know, that opens up, you know, a 20, you know, let's see, that would get you to about, excuse me. See, there's the burrito. I shouldn't eat in a burrito. That somebody's going to clip that. I shouldn't even the great. But anyway, if LeBron leaves, the Lakers would, and then if they renounce Rui's cap hold, or if they sign Rui quickly enough, you're probably looking at like, and they would wait on Austin because you can go above the cap for Austin. And he has a small cap hold relative to what he's going to be making. At that point, you would probably have room for one of Peyton Watson or Walker Kessler. And look, I'd be intrigued. You would essentially be trading LeBron for Walker Kessler, at least initially. And I would certainly be intrigued by, you know, if you renounce LeBron and you make a sizable offer to Walker Kessler that Utah decides not to match. And then you say to LeBron, hey, you know, if you resign Rui to a decent enough number, or if you use the space opened up by Rui signing elsewhere, or maybe signing a contract that is for less than his cap hold, you know, the Lakers could then basically say, like, all right, we have this, and this. We have another, you know, mid-level exception at like 14.7 million dollars next year that you could either sign for, or if you want to sign for less than that, we could use that exception to sign another player and then sign you using the biannual exception or something like that. But yeah, the Lakers cap space is in this weird spot where, like, yes, they technically have it and they technically have quite a bit of it, but that involves saying goodbye to some guys that I don't think the Lakers necessarily are all that thrilled to say goodbye to, right? Now, they are doing a lot of work behind the scenes to try to move off of Jared Vanderbilt's contract and maybe send him into another team's cap space and open up some room that way. That'll be interesting to see if they're able to do that. That gives them a lot more flexibility there, right? I think he makes about 14 or 15 million bucks next year, plus a player option on the other side of that one. But the Lakers have the work cut out for them, and it's this weird spot where they technically have cap space, but they don't really have cap space. And by the time they do have cap space, like, you're at that point talking about this, like, a weird trade situation, kind of like, remember when the Lakers didn't trade for, but kind of did trade, Trevor Ariza for Ron Artest. Like, that's what a lot of these free agent signings are essentially going to be, which makes it tricky to just kind of add to the core that the Lakers have, which we all grant isn't good enough. So the Lakers are going to be taking a step back in order to take a bigger step forward. Makes it very tricky. And I've said this to Pete. I've said this to people close to the Lakers. I've said this to anybody I've ever spoken to, really, on this subject. And I've said, like, I just don't see a world where LeBron isn't a Laker next year and the Lakers are better. Like, the Lakers roster is better. I just don't see it. And, you know, I'd love to be proven wrong. frankly, I would much more prefer to see LeBron back and see him on a team that he is excited enough to take a little bit less to be a part of. And we'll, you know, we'll see if that's how this all comes out, how it all plays out. The next question that we have here, this one comes from Twitter as well. Let's see, where is it? Come on, I just saw it. Okay, yeah. Revived Gamer HD writes, thoughts on Onyeka Okongwu as a big man target if the Hawks select Mara, a stretch big could be vital versus San Antonio. And honestly, against OKC too. So I actually, it was funny. I was just talking with Pete and with Jovan in our Great Western Forum, like group text, about, you know, stretch fives and stuff like that. And the stretch five that I entertained or asked those guys to entertain was Miles Turner. Milwaukee, especially if they trade Giannis, like they will definitely not have any need for Miles Turner's contract moving forward. And maybe, just maybe, you might be able to get Turner plus a pick if what you're offering is that cap space. So, oh, shoot, I didn't answer the Bronny part of the last one. Yeah, Bronny has a partially guaranteed contract for next year. And if LeBron isn't on the team, I find it really difficult to see Bronny being on the team next year. I don't want to oversimplify this thing and say that it's just like the only reason Bronny is on the Lakers is because of LeBron. I think Bronny has shown enough growth that I would be intrigued by him as a prospect moving forward. But I think if LeBron leaves just via free agency, and if he signs a contract that the Lakers like would have preferred to have him at, I think the Lakers at that point would just be like, all right, we're done with the James family as a business and as an entity. Bronny, go and, you know, see if LeBron can get you a gig at his new team, and best of luck to you that way. All right, let's go back to Revive Gamer again, who asked, thoughts on Onyeka Okongwu as a big man target if the Sox, if the Hawks select Mara. All right, so picking back up on my train of thought, I was asking Pete and Jovan about Miles Turner yesterday. Now, Turner was awful last year. He was nowhere near the player that he was when he had Tyrese Halliburton setting up everything for him and Rick Carlisle opening up the court for him strategically. He was a disaster, honestly, last year for Milwaukee. And, you know, you could point to any number of reasons why. There is a concern that, you know, maybe after his like latest payday, that like is like, how focused is he on basketball? Who knows? But, you know, he was really bad last year for Milwaukee, and the Lakers, if they brought him in, would need him to be worlds better. But the reason that I've been sitting there thinking about Miles Turner is because the number of playable stretch bigs, stretch fives, who are out there, who I think could even kind of hang in a series against OKC or against San Antonio or against, you know, any number of these teams that the Lakers are going to have to go through eventually in the West. The number of stretch fives who clear that talent level is not particularly high. And I was thinking about like, all right, so the Lakers have their cap space. Would you rather, you know, basically trade, like, especially if you could get off of Vando's contract, say, you know, you send Vando to like Portland or to Minnesota or something like that. The Lakers get back Turner, and Milwaukee gets, you know, some stuff and some cap space through the process. Like, does that make as much or more sense, or less sense, I guess, than, you know, going and hoping that Utah wouldn't match an oversized offer for Walker Kessler? Given that Kessler is coming off of a season where he barely played more minutes than I did. So, I was thinking about Miles Turner and like the very, very, very small pool of stretch bigs who have proven over the years that they can play in the playoffs. And Turner is one such big, or at least was one such big. Is that worth the gamble? I don't know. Like, you basically be hoping that Luka would like get Turner back to where he was at when he was playing with Tyrese Halliburton. It would be funny that like the Lakers finally employ Miles Turner after all of this. And look, like if Milwaukee says like, hey, are you interested in Miles Turner? No. What about Miles Turner and a pick? Maybe. Like, you would have to entertain that as an option. So, I whether it's a Kongwu, whether it's Turner, whatever, I do think that like the Lakers are going to need a stretch big because San Antonio has seemed to struggle against five out sets in this series against Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City, you know, if you stretch them out, I think that gives you about as good of a chance at piercing their shell defensively as any other approach to doing it. We're going to see how this thing goes. But I would say that like employing a stretch big next year, like I've been thinking a lot about like how the Lakers would fill out their center spot. And I would, you know, say like, I want a bruising big, I want a rim running big, and I want a floor stretching big or floor spacing big. And if the Lakers can have all three, they already have Jackson. He's kind of your rim runner. So that one's kind of taken care of already. And if you could bring in, you know, like if you want to use the bulk of your investment on a kind of bruising big and go after Walker Kessler, I would respect that. If you want to use kind of the bulk of your investment and trade for Miles Turner, especially at a discounted price, I could kind of see that. But I think you need one of all three of those centers so that you could throw as many pitches as you possibly can. Let me see. I guess I want to look and I'm getting a note here right at the tail end of the show. Apparently, I'm hearing that the Lakers have laid off some like not basketball ops people. I don't know what they're getting ready to do. Just kind of, I might have to come back on the show just to talk this through, but there are apparently some layoffs taking place. I don't want to like jump the gun here, out of respect to the people who might be losing their jobs. So I think I'm going to end this show here and then maybe come back to, you know, on the air, depending on who the layoffs might be. And as I get more information, so, I'm going to go ahead and peace out here. Thank you everybody for leaving your questions. And I just want to double check, make sure I don't have any. Cool. Just making sure. Cool. Perfect. 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 All right. Sorry. Kind of scatterbrained there at the very end there. Thank you everybody for your questions, your comments. Thank you in advance for liking and subscribing. Thank you in advance for subscribing to the show in the podcast form. Thank you in advance for supporting Prize Pick by using that promo code HMA, and making a $5 lineup. Your reward for doing so would be $50 worth of lineups there at Prize Picks. And until the next time you guys hear from us, I'm Anthony Irwin. saying have a great rest of your day, make somebody else's, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow. Or in 5 minutes, who knows?
Bye, everyone.